Well, may I firstly give another very warm welcome to Eugene, to Lynn, to Graham, Marion, David, Liz, and the entire family. Good to see you again this morning. And a very warm welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ too, to Alvin's many friends who have gathered here this morning. We are especially grateful to those who travelled a considerable distance to be here, and to those joining us on the live stream or on the recordings which you'll be watching later. We give you a very warm welcome too. It's good to have you with us. Well, why are we here this morning? Well, first of all, we are here to meet with and worship the living God. Nothing less than that. To meet with him and to worship him and to bring to him our heartfelt thanks for his great and immeasurable blessings to and through Alvin. How very many of us are in his debt. Secondly, we're here to seek God's help in comforting those who mourn. Remember, the living God is near to the brokenhearted. And thirdly, we're here to hear from God through his word. As we ourselves contemplate the comparative brevity of life, the journey's end which we will all have to make, and the eternity that God himself has set in the hearts of each and every one of us. In the light of Alvin's life, his faith, and his Saviour, Jesus Christ, we're going to do all of those three things. Remembering that his Saviour once declared, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And when Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, said that, he meant what he said. And he proved it by rising from the dead himself. Well, by now, Alvin, we want us to be getting on with it, so we'll honour that wish and we'll just do that very thing. We'll stand as we're able to bring our praise, both of our hearts and our lips, to God as we sing our first hymn, which Alvin himself has chosen for today, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Please stand if you're able to.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Well, we can't hope to match the quality of singing that Alvin's got used to in the last few days, but he would have been very pleased with that, I'm sure. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Let's bow before the Lord our God. We thank you, O God, our Father, high and lifted up and the most merciful one. We thank you for the name of Jesus. Jesus, the name that is so dear and so precious to believing sinners. And our Father, our joy and privilege is to join with heaven's prostrate angels right now to worship you, our Father, seated upon the throne, and to worship the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who stands in the center of that throne, worthy to receive all glory and honor and praise. He is the majestic King, and we gladly bow our hearts to confess, Lord Jesus, that you are Lord, crowned with glory, crowned with honor. We worship you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We acknowledge that you alone are God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Eternal One with no beginning or end. There never was a time when you were not. You're the mighty God who created this universe by the breath of your mouth, the God of perfect purity, wisdom, power, and love. And we acknowledge that you made the human race in your own image and likeness. And though we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory, going astray and turning each one to our own way, we bless you for the love that you've demonstrated in that you sent your only begotten Son into the world to take flesh, to become a man, to live in perfect obedience, and to offer that perfect life in sacrificial death to pay the price of our sins. Hallelujah, we rejoice that you raised him from the dead. And so we thank you for that highest, fairest, sweetest name that means that he will save his people from their sins. And we thank you for how sweet that name sounds in a believer's ear, soothing sorrow, healing wounds, driving away fear. We thank you for how precious that name was to Alvin. It was manna to his hungry soul. In weariness, it was his rest. And the music of that name refreshed his soul in death. Lord, will you cause that name to comfort those who mourn? We commit to you his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, the whole family who will miss him so dearly, and for Jean especially, O our God, draw particularly near, show yourself afresh, bring forth and sustain her in her faith, granting her the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. We thank you that you have given to all people life, breath, and a measure of health, and every other good gift that's been showered upon them during their earthly life. And we come to give you our particular thanks now for your daily mercies to dear Alvin during his earthly life and pilgrimage. You're the one who knit him together in his mother's womb. You're the one who watched over his every moment from cradle to grave and made him the blessing he was to family, friends, and the flocks he so faithfully served. And so we gather to give you our thanks for him and for all of his ways. Thank you that you gave to him the marvelous gift of faith in Jesus. We confess our sins before you, our Father. We ask you to take them away and to wash them in the blood of our Lord Jesus. And we ask you to draw near and to make yourself known to each and every one of us, magnifying your own name in our hearts, we pray. And these things we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, Alvin was born on the 11th of January 1928 in South Wales to parents James and Esther Shuttleworth, who had the pastorate of the English Baptist Mission in the small coal mining village of Eastrad Minnach, pronounced Eastrad Minnach, according to Google. He was the middle child, with Tom, his elder brother, and Jean, the youngest, who have both now predeceased him. In 1930, the family moved to Dovercourt on the Essex coast, Alvin's very first memories, as I recall, where James and Esther took on the evangelical mission work. Alvin and his brother and sister grew up in Dovercourt. During the war, they were evacuated to Dursley in Gloucestershire. Always keen on sport, Alvin showed talent on the football pitch. As a youngster, he had ambitions to be a professional footballer. Indeed, he had a trial for a London club. But after national service in the RAF, Alvin was called by God to Christian service. He began his training at All Nations Bible College at Taplow, near Maidenhead, and continued at London Bible College, learning Hebrew and Greek and being awarded a Bachelor of Divinity degree. Whilst at Maidenhead, I'm told that he met and fell in love with Jean, a state registered nurse, and they married in 1955, 67 years ago. Wow. Alvin and Jean, now with baby daughter Lynn, moved to London, where Alvin took a position at the Talbot Tabernacle in Notting Hill. Son Graham was born while the family was in London and living in a small ground floor flat with a tin bath. Those were the days, weren't they? However, the family soon moved to Devon, where Alvin combined the role of part-time minister at Budgell Lane Evangelical Church in Exeter with part-time lecturer in Hebrew and Greek at Moorlands Bible College, just outside of Dawlish. In 1962, Alvin was called to be pastor at Clarence Street Baptist Church in Penzance. The family spent 9 very happy years in Cornwall, making many lifelong friends, and with son David's arrival completing the family, that made them whole. Alvin showed his DIY skills at home and around the church. The sign he painted is still hanging outside the church building, and I have a photograph which I took in August to prove it. In many phone calls this week with Cornwall, I've discovered that it was indeed Alvin's idea, that it was constructed by Russell, that Alvin painted it and Russell put it up. So there we go. That was the end of all the arguments, I think. He helped his children with hobbies and interests, though Graham remembers that the balsawood aeroplane model which his father was making for him sat unfinished on his study shelf for many years. There are those alive today who remember the very first time Alvin came to preach in Penzance, arriving by train from Dawlish on the Saturday evening to preach for the weekend. Russell Cargig picked him up from the station and brought him to stay with the family. And Russell and Beryl's daughter Sue remembers it clearly and remarks that from that day, Alvin became a very dear family friend, and soon after, a caring, loving pastor to the flock at Clarence Street. He was, she says, a pastor who showed great humility and care of his flock, and a few years later he baptized Sue. For decades after he left Penzance, he and Jean returned to visit when Cornish friendships continued. He even made a speech at Jeff and Sue's wedding reception in 1980. Sue comments, "I will always be thankful to God for the part he played in my days as a young Christian. My words don't really express how special Alvin was to us as a family. He has certainly heard those words, 'Well done, good and faithful servant,' and that sentiment has been repeated often amongst us, hasn't it? I'm sure there are many souls across many churches deeply indebted to Alvin." Local pastor Roger Abbott has never forgotten his first visit to Clarence Street Baptist Church. He'd been invited to accompany his sister. And Roger's experiences of church of any kind prior to that visit had been very few and hadn't been particularly good experiences. But that day, he says, sitting under Alvin's preaching, he heard the gospel for the first time in the 17 years of his life. And he was enthralled by it. And that moment was such a significant moment in him becoming a Christian. He says, Alvin was my first experience of a pastor too. Oh, how I thank God for that experience. He made such an impression upon me of real Christianity. So engagingly interested in me. So friendly, so compassionate. And oh, so tolerant and patient with this young rough diamond who took to the Christian life like a gale of wind. Nothing could happen too soon for me, which meant many mistakes on my part and huge amounts of patience on Alvin's. Alvin baptized Roger too and pointed him in the direction of Christian ministry. So many good seeds sown by Alvin. A few years later, by which time Alvin and Jean and the family had moved to Claremont Street Baptist Church in Shrewsbury, Roger was preparing for final degree exams at the London School of Theology, as it now is. Mentally exhausted, not sleeping well, and feeling generally all in, he asked Alvin and Jean if he could come and stay with them and continue his revision away from the academic environment. He recalls that they welcomed him with incredible warmth, and he had such relaxed fun in their company, and more spiritual and psychological therapy than they would ever know. In short, he says, I've never ceased to thank God for both Alvin and Jean. The family did move on from Penzance, and in 1971 they went, as I've just mentioned, to Shrewsbury, where Alvin was pastor of the church for 14 years. Again, friendships were made, and Shrewsbury Town Football Club became the family's team. Then in 1985, after Lynn and Graham had both married, Alvin and Jean moved with David to Shepshed, where Alvin was pastor of the Evangelical Free Church here on Kirk Hill until he retired. Even in recent days during pastoral visitation, I've met with those deeply moved by Alvin's home call and expressing through tears their thankfulness to God for Alvin, not least his gentleness, which proved to be so helpful and so healing. Alvin was a remarkably dear man, wasn't he? I mentioned earlier on at a conference I attended last week, one of the preachers commented on Christ's tenderness, the tenderness of the Good Shepherd. Well, Alvin had that quality, didn't he? Amongst many others, in abundance. And tenderness is rare. And tenderness requires a real inner strength, together with love and compassion. It's something we who name the name of Christ should seek to imitate. One of the best-selling Christian books in 2020 was entitled Gentle and Lowly, The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers. And the heart of Christ was something Alvin displayed in abundance. If ever there was a man to put into practice the instruction, let your gentleness be known to all men, it was Alvin Shuttleworth. Jean comments how she never once heard the expression of a single nasty thought come from his lips. If conversation was moving in that direction, he either fell silent or brought the comments of others to an end. Alvin was much admired, I'm told, for his thought-provoking and challenging sermons. Rarely the family note under 45 minutes. Perish the thought. And long into retirement, he continued to be called upon to preach at many local and not-so-local churches, regularly driving to Sheffield to preach at the Bible rallies. He preached God's truth, and he had a seemingly natural ability to tell illustrative, poignant stories. I found him to be a great, gripping, attention-holding storyteller. And during the COVID months, my weekly 10 minutes on the phone with Alvin, he always brought it to an end thinking enough was enough, were amongst the most interesting and encouraging moments of a very challenging time. In latter years, Alvin has worshipped at Belton Street Baptist, then both the Word of Life Church and at Bethesda Chapel, just along the road from his home. And always, I'm told, he was smartly presented and very rarely seen, even at home, without a tie. Good man. Over the years, 8 grandchildren have arrived, and 5 great-grandchildren. Alvin was able to officiate at the marriages of both of his sons and his 2 granddaughters. He enjoyed music and encouraged his children and grandchildren with learning the piano. More recently, he looked forward to seeing his grandsons that call in regularly on their way to and from school, enjoying discussing music, theology, and football with them. Cornwall has always been a special place for Alvin and Jean, and they've often returned there for family holidays. On one such occasion, with a newly acquired camera, Alvin was so keen to get an action shot of the stormy sea that he ended up drenched with a very soggy camera. On another holiday, he was able to visit the grave of his namesake, his father's brother Alvin, who had died in the Battle of the Somme. Alvin was often to be found deeply engrossed in a book on spiritual or sporting topics, or reading the daily paper, but he also had a fun sense of humour and enjoyed practical jokes. His love of sport, especially football and cricket, continued through his life. In younger years, whenever there was a table tennis table, he and Jean would play, and he was keen to teach his children and his grandchildren how to play too. One of those grandchildren took to Facebook on the afternoon of the day Alvin went to glory and said, "In my formative years, you were my best friend, someone who would always champion and love me unconditionally. You walked and conducted yourself throughout life with the utmost integrity, grace, and humility. One of the finest examples of Christ-like living that I've ever witnessed." Now, that's uniquely personal memories. And yet, every one of us who saw what Matthew saw would agree, wouldn't we? Alvin was a kind and gentle man whose deep-rooted faith was central to his life and fundamental to how he lived. Each one of us, family and friends, have and will continue to recall very special memories of him. And his believing family look forward to meeting him again in glory. Can I just give you a few seconds to quietly reflect upon your own memories of dear Alvin Shuttleworth? Our Father, we give you thanks for a life well lived, for your gracious hand upon him. And we pray that you would help us to live in the light of the way he imitated his Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege of having such memories. Seal them to our hearts, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to sing our second hymn, after which Alvin's good friend Malcolm from Bethesda Chapel will come and briefly try to share some additional memories before reading the passage of scripture that Alvin has planned for today. Before we do that, I'd like to give some notices. You'll find them largely on the back of the order of services, where Jean and the family would like to express their sincere thanks to all of you for coming today. To Jackie for heading up the catering team, for Joan for playing the piano, for the technical staff, Danny and Wilf, I think particularly, and for all others who have worked and will be working so hard behind the scenes today. Jean is also so very grateful for the beautiful array of lots of cards she has received, with various kindnesses, thoughts, and greetings to accompany them. She's deeply grateful to you. Please, if you're able, don't rush off at the end, but do stay for refreshments. We will seek to serve you drinks from the first hatch here and food from the hatch into the side hall. So go to either of those, depending on your greatest need. Drink, round the corner, food. And then please find a table if you're able to. Notice that the family requested that any donations in Alvin's memory be made to Pilgrim's Friend Society. You'll find the details there on the back of the order of service. And then Malcolm will come and lead us. And our second hymn is Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let's stand to sing.
Alvin and Jean are members here at the Word of Life Church. They were also regular worshippers at Bethesda here in Shepshed. And it was through God's providence that Alvin came to Bethesda. Roger, at the time an elder at Bethesda, went on holiday with his wife Sue to a Christian hotel, and they were allocated seats in the dining room at the same table as Jean and Alvin. And over the course of the week, Roger, of course, made a wonderful friend of Alvin and Jean, and he found out that Alvin was a pastor. And later in that year at Bethesda, we needed someone at church to lead the Bible studies, and Roger suggested I ask Alvin. And as always, as soon as I asked him, he said, yes, I'd be pleased to come along and help. And he did. And that was in 2003. And Alvin has been helping at Bethesda ever since. And he has been a real blessing to every one of us. He loved to come preaching, and he would always be the first to give me his preaching list for the following year. And if any preachers couldn't make it for any reason, even at the last minute, Alvin would step in. He always wanted to help. And I knew that if there was a problem at the church, I could go to Alvin. He was a very wise man, and I always benefited from his advice. Alvin enjoyed the fellowship at Bethesda. He particularly enjoyed the Christmas meal we shared together. In fact, he and I were the chefs. And he was a real natural in the kitchen when he put his apron on. But with Alvin, everything was very meticulous. About all things, everything had to be done properly. And it had to be in the correct place. I can remember when we had the new chairs in the church, we were going to set them up, and Alvin went up and stood in the pulpit, and he was saying, that one wants to go a little bit to the left, that one wants to go a little bit further back. And when we had communion, if ever the tablecloth was not level or one-sided, he would always come up and tell me, and I had to straighten it for him. Alvin was a real blessing to all of us at Bethesda. He was a dear brother in Christ and a very dear friend. We'll now have our scripture reading, and it's taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, this spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Thank you, Simon.
It is said that the well-known evangelist, Billy Graham, once remarked, "Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it," he said. "I shall be more alive than I am now. I've just changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God." Well, we've heard that Alvin Shuttleworth is dead. A fact I'm not going to dwell upon, but we wouldn't be here now if he hadn't departed. And we do deal in reality. That departure brings enormous sorrow. It brings aching grief. It's brought deep-rooted mourning, sometimes accompanied with tears. What a loss it is. What a hole he leaves. The passing of a faithful servant of God. A dear and tender under-shepherd. A great granddad, father, much else, and devoted husband. And we pray that God will comfort you richly in all of your grief as a family. Once again, I want to thank you for sharing him with so many others, a task which isn't always easy to bear. And yet, for all of that reality, we're not here today to grieve as those who, as the scriptures say, have no hope. Because we have a great hope in relation to Alvin. And that hope is not merely wishful thinking, but a guaranteed certainty concerning his present and future life. There's a very real sense in which he's never been more alive. He has changed his address, but he's gone into the presence of God. And in his presence there's fullness of joy, and at his hand are treasures forevermore. Into the presence of God, holy, mighty, whom Alvin loved and served, and who loved Alvin literally to death in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Briefly, reality number one, where is he? Well, the Bible says that he's absent from the body, which means that for Alvin he is present with the Lord. Where is he? Present with the Lord. As the scripture says, he's departed to be with Christ, which is far better. So with every confidence we know where he is. Reality number two, we're going to consider why. Have you ever wondered why Alvin is where he is, present with the Lord? Why he is now assuredly in heaven? Has God rewarded Alvin with heaven for being such a nice, gentle gentleman? Has God rewarded Alvin with heaven for being such a faithful pastor? I mean, is that how you get into heaven? Is it a reward for our goodness or kindness or tenderness for our Christian service? Is that how it works? If we meet a certain standard, get a certain percentage, are we allowed in? And the answer is no. It isn't how it works. As Alvin would demand that I remind you or tell you today. But in that case, why is he in heaven? What happened to him to fit him for heaven? How come Alvin's in heaven? Let me briefly try and explain. First of all, we're here today because Alvin physically, yes, though once he was alive, and for almost 95 years, he's now physically dead. Physically. But he's in heaven right now because spiritually, though he was once dead, he then became alive. Physically alive, now dead. Spiritually, he was once dead, and then something happened to him and became spiritually alive. And he's never been more alive than he is right now. Though there's even better to come when one day he'll be clothed in his new resurrection body. Then why? Have you understood what happened to him? Well, we know from his own chosen reading for today, we can say that he was where he is today because, number one, God made him alive. God made him alive with Christ. Verse 1 and verse 5. Let me recap. Alvin was once physically alive, but he was spiritually dead. And that's what he wants you to know. There was a time in life when he was physically alive, but he was spiritually dead. And I'm sure he wants you to know that. I'm sure that's why he's chosen a reading he has. He was once spiritually dead, and it's not a very pretty picture, is it, of what we're like when we're spiritually dead, from verses 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians chapter 2. It speaks of us being dead in our trespasses. We've crossed the line. God has told us to live like this, and we haven't. We've lived like this. It speaks of our sins. It speaks of our disobedience. It speaks of us being children of God's wrath, that his wrath is upon us because of the way that we have rebelled against him in our sin. It's not a pretty picture, but it's a true picture, and it was once true of Alvin. He was dead in his trespasses, dead in his sins, dead in his disobedience, a child of wrath. But then, after something happened, he came to do good works. The good works which God prepared in advance for him to do. Verse 10 of Malcolm's reading. And for Alvin, those good works included Christian ministry, the role of pastor. But he wanted to understand that he did those works as a man who was now alive from spiritual death. It's not because of those works that he gets into heaven. He did those works because something had happened to him. And it's nothing less than this. God made him alive with Christ. The living God, holy, 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 visited him. He didn't merely awaken Alvin from spiritual sleep. God made him alive from the dead. He brought Alvin to spiritual life, and he brought spiritual life to Alvin. In fact, he imparted into Alvin nothing less than the very life of God himself. That's what true Christianity is. Not simply about believing a set of rules or principles. It's about doing that because God has made us alive. Alvin was born again, as the scriptures say. Do you want to know why Alvin was the man that he was? Because one day God took a hold of him, in a sense breathed into him again and made him spiritually alive, such that Alvin Shuttleworth became the dwelling place of Almighty God, where God the Holy Spirit lives. In fact, the Bible tells us that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all took up permanent residence in the core of Alvin's being. That's true Christianity that begins with conversion. First of all, God made him alive. Well, why did God make him alive? Well, it was there in the reading. It wasn't because Alvin deserved it. He was dead in his trespasses and in his sins and in his disobedience. But we learn two things from verse 4. God made him alive because God is rich in mercy. The God we've offended is prepared to treat us in a way that we don't deserve. We deserve his condemnation. And yet in Christ we receive forgiveness for all of our sins, the hope of heaven and everlasting life. Because God is prepared to deal with us in a way we don't deserve, according to his mercy, verse 4. And the same verse, because of his love. Because of his great love with which he loved us, he made Alvin Shuttleworth alive. And all because God had demonstrated his love, where? In the cross, where Jesus died. The Bible says God demonstrates his own love towards us in this, that whilst we were still sinners, Christ, the God-man, died for us. And that truth, that reality, became the very heart of Alvin's life. That God's eternal Son had taken to himself flesh, had visited this planet as a man, had lived in perfect obedience, like Alvin hadn't and I haven't and you haven't, and then to bring everlasting life and forgiveness of sin to all who would believe, he had died upon a cruel wooden cross, bearing in his own perfect body the sins, the offences, the shortcomings of his people, taking the rap for them, facing his Father's anger against sin. Jesus died to secure forgiveness and everlasting life for all who would believe. What happened to Alvin? God made him alive because God is rich in mercy and he loved Alvin with an everlasting love. And so finally, as a result of that, verse 8, we're told three things about Alvin. First of all, he was saved. Did you notice that in the reading? Alvin Shuttleworth was a saved man, a man who'd been rescued. What had he been rescued from? Well, the Bible says that Jesus rescues us from our sin, rescues us from Satan, the devil, who the scripture says is real and the Christian believes is real. Jesus saves us from eternal death and saves us from hell, which is what we deserve. Alvin Shuttleworth was saved from his sin, rescued by Jesus. And secondly, all of this was by grace, we heard in the reading. It was by grace, it wasn't deserved, it was God's free gift to Alvin. God's undeserved kindness. God's tenderness at work in Alvin's life. Sometimes when we spell the word grace in the Bible, G-R-A-C-E, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ died for us on the cross, and God pours out his love to us through Christ. It was by a free gift that Alvin came to be saved. But lastly, we read it was through faith. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. God granted Alvin the ability to believe. And so, dear Alvin, turn from his own unbelief and from his own sin, and from any reliance upon what he had done, any goodness that he might have claimed. He forsook all of that to rely upon Jesus only, to forgive him, to cleanse him, to make him right with God once and for ever. That's what happened to Alvin Shuttleworth. God made him alive because of God's undeserved free kindness and his love, such that Alvin was saved by the free gift and through the faith he exercised in the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, how he would want you to know that today. God made him alive in mercy and love, such that he was saved by grace through faith. But he'd want you to know more than that, wouldn't he? He just doesn't want you simply to know what happened to him. He'd want you to know this same life for yourself. Nothing less than the life of God in you. Because God is prepared to deal with you in a way that you don't deserve. In the same way that he dealt with Alvin and with me. In the love that God has shown by sending his Son to die for sins upon the cross at Calvary, turning aside God's anger against those sins which Jesus bore. Alvin would long for you to be saved from your sins by the free gift of grace and through you exercising faith and repentance, turning from sin, turning from unbelief, turning from any claim in your own goodness, and rather relying upon Jesus only, that you be saved and forgiven. Alvin would long for you to know that today. Long for you to be healed, perhaps, of your backsliding. Or perhaps one day you were where Alvin was, but he continued and you haven't. And maybe today you hear the voice of Jesus calling you again to turn and to return. And I'd encourage you to humble yourself and come afresh to this magnificent Jesus. Alvin would love you to know the fullness of God today. And you know how gently but determinedly he would plead with you, whoever you are, whatever your background. Won't you travel where Alvin travelled? To the foot of the cross. To true faith in Jesus Christ. And then to heaven itself. It is by grace that you're saved. Through faith. Because God is still a God today who makes people alive with Christ. Because he's rich in mercy and he's loving. Can I encourage you not to put off the right response to what you've heard here today? The third hymn which Alvin has chosen for us to sing, and we sing in conclusion, is "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in." Please stand if you're able to sing.
Thank you.
Our Father, we give you thanks again for a life well lived. We ask you, please, to comfort those who mourn today and in the days ahead, and to help us to pray and support them too. We thank you for the words that dear Alvin will have heard. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And we thank you for the Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, please receive our thanks now for the food that we're about to eat. And continue with us in our conversations. For Christ's sake, amen. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen.